If there's somebody out there who is living from the heart and expressing themselves as unconditional love, if we're talking throat chakra, they're lifting the whole field. Their ripple effect is going out far, far beyond them. And if we have enough people doing this really, really strongly and living from the heart, naturally it will lift everyone. Welcome to the Let It Flow podcast, a place where we discuss the ancient wisdom of holistic health, yoga, and Ayurveda in a modern day context
to help you align mind, body, and spirit and shine as your brightest self.
We're your hosts, Taryn and Alana,
and we are so grateful to share this moment with you.
Let's dive within. On today's episode, Alana interviews me all about the chakra system of yoga. I am so excited to share this episode with you. When I was doing my Live Your Yoga mentorship, chakras was actually the most popular class out of all of them for people to learn about. And it's for a good reason, because this entire system and all of the wisdom and knowledge and insight into our own lives that it gives us is truly fascinating and can be so connective and so healing and so helpful in understanding ourselves better. By the end of this episode, you will have been introduced to the system itself and where it comes from, have a little background about what a chakra really is and why. I will have walked you through each of the 7 main chakras. Then we'll talk about ways where you can start to focus on your specific chakras, balancing yourself as a holistic being, and integrating awareness and chakra healing into your own life. Let's dive within.
Taryn and I are super excited for this episode. We're actually doing something a little bit different. We've been talking recently about a lot of things, spirituality, healing, self-healing, self-development, like we always do. And Taryn always brings up so much good wisdom about chakras and the chakra system. And although I know a little bit about the system, I do not know as well as Taryn does. And so I thought it would be really fun to ask her a few questions about the chakras, how we can use this wisdom to self-heal, what are ways we can use knowledge about the chakra system to improve our lives overall. So I wrote a couple of questions down for Taryn, and I'm super excited to jump right in and ask her all these goodies about the chakra system. I don't know if you're familiar with chakras or not. For me, I definitely feel like it's almost like a tip of an iceberg. Like, I know a little bit about it, but there's like this whole world underneath. So I'm excited to see what Taryn shows us on this call.
I'm super excited to talk about this. Chakras are pretty much one of my favorite little tidbit information things to talk about pretty much always. And I find that the more I personally had studied the chakras, I was seeing them everywhere and how the system relates to your life and how it relates to human evolution in general and so many different things. So I'm really excited about this.
First question to you is, what is the chakra system? If you were to put it simply, how would you explain it to someone who has no idea what chakras even are?
Essentially, the oldest mention of the chakra system is the same as yoga. So it comes from the Vedic times in ancient India. And a lot of people are familiar with the word chakra in relation to a lot of different things, not just the Indian system, because the word itself has kind of been adapted to mean other things. But essentially, chakra as a word means wheel in Sanskrit. We can almost think of this like a spinning energetic wheel. And we have multiple ones in our body. We have 7 of them. But really what these chakras do is we can almost picture their energy to be spinning and propelling us through our lives. There's beautiful diagrams that have been created by ancient rishis and sages and yogis, but there's believed to be more than 20,000 nadis, which are energy channels in the body. And there are 7 locations in our body where these energy channels, which actually correspond a lot to veins and arteries. You can almost picture it like veins and arteries, but instead of blood, it's energy that they carry throughout the body. They intersect with the most abundance in these 7 areas. So they become literally energetic centers, almost like Grand Central Station but of energy in the body. These run along the length of our spine, starting at the bottom and extending out the top of our head at the crown of our head. These are pretty much different areas that activate certain parts of our lives. And the goal is to have them be what people say in balance.
What does imbalance mean in this context?
Well, some people will say that it means that your chakra is spinning in a clockwise motion. That's kind of a popular way to think of it. But really what it means for it to be in balance is that you have an equal amount of energy flowing into each of your seven chakras. Mm-hmm. So a chakra can be out of balance because it is completely not being used. We're not activating that energetic aspect of our lives or ourselves. So for example, an imbalanced root chakra, if you have no activity there, then you would be super ungrounded. But you could also have too much activity to the point where it's sucking energy away from the other seven centers. And that would be like someone who's overly attached to the place where they live, and they're so much of a homebody that they can't leave their house. That's actually sucking energy away from the other six chakras, therefore imbalancing their whole system.
Wow. So it's super polar. It could be one or the other. That's cool. I had never thought about it in that way. And that's interesting because I think you brought up a point, you know, you can see how one imbalance can really manifest in different ways within your life. And I'm super excited to talk about all of that. Before we dive into how the chakra energies really manifest in our lives, do you want to explain to us a little bit more about what the seven main chakras are called and what energy they relate to or what energy they hold?
Definitely. The chakras essentially run along the spine. So if you picture this in a human body, we'll start at the first chakra, which is considered to be the one at the base of the spine. So you start at the bottom and go up. And as we progress through these, you'll probably notice by my description of them, but really what we're doing is we're moving from a very dense, physical, gross, material aspect to more and more subtle energetic planes until we get to the top chakra, which is formless. So it really is like this perfect gradient moving from the material world, from matter into spirit. Starting at the bottom, we have chakra number one. It's beautiful because this actually corresponds with the color of the rainbow. So the first chakra is red. It's awesome because yogis, I mean, they did know this, but they didn't have the way of testing that we did, of testing vibration, but actually red does have the longest, least active vibrational frequency of any color. It's got the most extended, the most slow moving vibrational color. So anyways, we have this root chakra space and it's called Muladhara. That word means root or support, kind of foundation in Sanskrit. And so this relates to our feeling of home. If we have a perfectly balanced root chakra, then we have a good sense of home. We have solid roots, solid connection, good relationship with our family, with our ancestors, with where we came from. And that's a perfect chakra, but we can be anywhere on a scale of how healthy or balanced our chakra is. So if we had an imbalance in this area, that would manifest as feeling either not enough energy, so that would be doesn't feel like you have a home, overly attached, overly sentimental, feeling like everything is going to be taken from you. So this could manifest as being so uncomfortable about your financial situation that you can't focus on any other aspect of your life because you feel like I might lose my home. I might not be able to put dinner on the table. That's root chakra stuff because that's literally, it's like our primal survival skills, our ability to continue existing in the body.
But do you consider emotions related to different chakras too, like feeling of fear or anger? Would emotions also be something that you can't correspond to different chakras at all, or are they not really related? Because when you said how it can manifest as attachment and the unknowing of feeling misplaced or out of your place or not knowing if things are going to stay, it all kind of, to me, sounds like almost like a fear, you know, like you're living in this fearful like moment. What are your thoughts on that? Like, do you think that emotions can be correspondent to chakras or not really?
Yeah, so that's interesting that you say that because there are, I guess, different ways that we would sense each of the chakras, but the home of the emotions is actually considered to be the second chakra. But root chakra is almost like it's almost more instinctual than emotion. It's like that fight or flight thing, but it definitely would manifest as fear and anxiety. Almost the emotions that don't even exist in our head. They feel like they come from like our body because we have this instinctual freak out reaction.
Physical. Okay, survival mode. Okay, that makes sense. So the second chakra, you said the house of emotions?
Yes. So the second chakra is called Svadhisthana, and this one is orange. We're moving up. The word Svadhisthana translates roughly as sweetness, which I love. I think that's so sweet. Yeah. But chakras, yeah, can be as complex or as simple as you want them to be. They do all have elements associated with them too. But we don't have to get into all that. But the sacral chakra, I think it's worth mentioning, is related to the water element. So it's related to pleasure and joy and flow and relationship. This is where the root chakra, everything starts and it's earth. But then we get to the second one and there's this idea of relationship. So this one in a human being is believed to develop around age 2 or 3. When we start to see duality in the world, we start to see other people and realize that they're separate, supposedly separate from us. And we start to say, I like ice cream. I don't like the sound of car horns honking, etc. I like this person. So this is where our emotions, our personality, our very base level, like sexuality, comes into play. And really just our pleasure, our joy. So it's very feminine chakra, but this one is also very instinctual. A balanced sacral chakra, you can manage your relationships well, you know what you like, you know what works with your personality, and you know how to avoid situations that make you unhappy. You have a good relationship with pleasure. You do things on a regular basis just because they make you happy. You feel like your life moves well and you have a good relationship with the external world.
Every single chakra is so vital, but that sounds like a very important one to have in balance so that everything else can flow, right?
Yeah, and that's important too, is all the chakras affect each other so much, especially the ones right below or above it. So yeah, it's so important that that second one is in place because it will mess up essentially everything else if we have imbalance in that area. But it's interesting because the chakra system sometimes is seen as like, oh, once you've passed the root chakra, then you can focus on the second. But it's easy for people to have very developed upper chakras and like have a second chakra, this one that's totally imbalanced, because the energy flows both ways. So an imbalance in this area might look like somebody who is overly emotional, somebody who maybe is really attached to like their boyfriend, their partner, their wife, their significant other, someone who doesn't really know what they like or has a tendency to really throw themselves into situations where they know they're not going to be happy, things like that.
Cool. And then, so then we have our root one, which is the red, and then the sacral is orange. And then what's the third one?
The third one is the solar plexus chakra. So this is yellow. It's called Manipura, and that translates as pretty much like shining, shimmering jewel.
I love that.
I know, it's so awesome. Solar plexus, everything about this chakra is sun. It's bright, it's radiating. This is the light that you shine to the world. Mm-hmm. So if your second one is your emotions and kind of your inside relationship with the world, this is your outside relationship with the world. And this is your sense of self. This is how well you assert yourself in the world. This is how you present yourself to other people. The solar plexus chakra it's the home of the ego. So it's the home of ego, which can be good and bad. Ego helps us put things into place. Ego is the reason we choose a single career and don't do everything every single day. Ego is the reason that we choose to hang out with people and to buy certain things and not buy other things. It's very discerning. It's like pretty much looking at the world, does this fit my sense of self? So yeah, a balanced solar plexus chakra would be, I know who I am, I know what I want, I know what I like my life to look like, I know how the world sees me, and I'm comfortable with that. And yeah, I know who I am, and I have boundaries, and I stand for who I am. And then the imbalance can be on either side of that. We can have not enough energy there, so very passive, dismissive, low self-esteem, kind of likes to hide away from the world, doesn't want people to look at them, ashamed of themselves, shy. And then the other side of that, too much energy flowing into your third chakra would be egomaniac, somebody who feels the need to assert their dominance over other people. This is, honestly, I think solar plexus chakra is the chakra which on a global scale has the most imbalance right now. We have a lot of just these situations where people feel the need to assert their dominance over other living creatures so much that it's like we don't even realize that it's being done every day all the time.
I think the imbalances are being manifested as both sides too, right? I feel like there is so many people too who are dismissive and are kind of feeling like incapable of like really being themselves here right now. So yeah, so I feel like it's crazy because while there's so many people out there establishing their dominance, there's also so many people choosing to be submissive to themselves. Interesting to think about because every single chakra affects one another, right? It could be like this chakra, but do you think it could also be just people not being aware of the whole system and balancing everything out?
Yeah, no, I think that's a beautiful parallel. And it's, they say in yoga and Ayurveda, the microcosm, the small self, is the macrocosm. So the individual represents the whole of the universe. Our society, our system as a planet has a third chakra imbalance. And not to get ahead of ourselves, but I actually think it's really relevant here. From an evolutionary perspective, masters of the chakra system say that we are actually in a place where we are, if our humankind, human consciousness is moving through the chakra system and transcending upwards, we are at the place where we're coming out of the age of the solar plexus chakra. Pretty much we're finally as a collective starting to transcend ego, unhealthy ego.
Wow, that's super interesting. And so that is heading to our next chakra?
Yes. Yeah, so now we're going into the fourth chakra, which I love this chakra. This is the color green, and it's the heart chakra. In Sanskrit, it's called Anahata. It translates as unstruck. So what that really means is it's really, really sweet. It pretty much means something that has not been broken, something that has not been bruised, something that exists without injury. So what this is saying is to have this heart chakra activated, it needs to be regarded gently. We need to not only fix a broken heart, we need to be very mindful that we don't break our own heart, because to have the heart chakra is to have something that is unstruck, undamaged, that can love unconditionally. So in a person, in the physical self, this is the turning point. This is where the lower three chakras, which are related to things that are undeniable parts of our lives. These are the things that are very much apparent and obvious in the physical world. And then the upper three chakras, which actually don't have even earthly elements associated with them because they become more subtle, more energetic, more conceptual. And heart chakra is the center. This is where physical world matter meets spirit. And it's so beautiful because they say mind-body-spirit connection, the heart, that's the key. So this is related to love, of course. This is related to our ability to love unconditionally and how loved we feel by others. And this is related to self-love. So this is balance too. This is where we start to recognize that there is something that connects us to other people that we can't see, we can't really describe with words, but we just have to feel it.
I've heard a lot of people say this could also be a good point of intuition almost, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's so fascinating, but this heart chakra area has been proven to have not only a lot of energetic activity in the human body, but actually they are starting to find neurons in the heart that are related to intuition, but in a lot of ways, they are stronger. And a lot of times when it comes to that intuitive hit, these nerves and these neurons in our heart actually give us messages that are more accurate right away than our brain does.
I love it because even for people that have no idea what chakras are, I feel like the saying follow your heart has just been so thrown out into society. And like, it's so funny because I feel like it stems from this knowing, you know, this knowing that the heart is or can be a guide.
Yeah, that's so true. I think these phrases that stick around throughout the ages that we can't even like, we don't know where they came from because everyone's just always said them. A lot of times they really do line up with this ancient wisdom that we don't know why people knew it, but they just always have.
Yeah. Wow. Really interesting to think about it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So a heart chakra imbalance is pretty obvious. It's not feeling loved, not loving yourself, not knowing how to receive love from the world, having conditional love, that would be an imbalance. So from there, we move on and we have the throat chakra. This is number 5 and the color is blue. And now we have left the area of the physical world. This chakra is called Vishuddha, and that translates as purified or purification. And this chakra, actually, when I started really studying the system, this is the one that blew my mind because I always thought, oh, throat chakra, it's your ability to express yourself. It's your ability to listen to others, express themselves. But it's so much more than that. Because if it were just words, if it were just expressing yourself, then it would be third chakra stuff. Mm-hmm. But this is vibration. This is energy. And that's why it's purification, because this is the way that we speak to each other without words. Like, you know, when you enter a room and you can just kind of feel somebody's mood.
Yeah.
That's related a bit to the throat chakra, because we are sending out signals all the time. Most of them aren't the things that come out of our mouths.
Wow, it's interesting. I didn't know it meant purification, but thinking about it, I feel like through the throat chakra, you can release so much. I mean, even if you think about it, like, just like the breath that when you exhale, it's almost like so close to the throat, it's like coming out of your mouth. And then the words, what you speak, singing, song, chanting, I feel like there's so much release that you can get from the expression of the chakra. So it's so interesting to know now that it's literally called purification.
Yeah, no, it gives you so much insight because that's so true. It's such a beautiful area of just this like immediate almost release. And it's really cool too, because if you think about how they build on top of each other, starting from the bottom, if you don't have the foundation of knowing where you came from, knowing what you like, knowing who you are, and then understanding unconditional love and having an open heart, then you can't possibly use your words to express yourself purely in a purified manner to the world. And I think it's so powerful that this actually is built upon having a strong heart chakra. You know, like they could just say, oh, throat chakra is built on your solar plexus and you have a strong sense of self, so therefore you can express yourself. Yeah. But it's like, no, you can't fully activate your ability to express yourself with words unless your heart is open.
Yes, that makes so much, wow, that's really beautiful, because it's almost like the being, like ourselves, our being was kind of crafted with the system where they almost put love as an essential, you know? You can be, but in order for you to express, you need to activate this love. It's also bringing us back to, I think, what you mentioned about overall consciousness and overall, like, the oneness that we all are, where we're literally here for love, and then we're moving right now to the chakra, right? We're moving away from the solar to the heart. I don't know, maybe there's going to be like a huge like shift of enhanced love around the world. Hopefully that'd be cool.
Oh my goodness. I totally think it's coming. And that's actually so awesome, because it relates to the throat chakra, which says The throat chakra transcends physical matter. So therefore, while we all have energy, all of it connects. We all have these auras, these fields around us that flow into each other. And so we're sharing energy. And if you think of, okay, I'm a person, I have this field. It's like maybe 10 feet around me and it's got all this energy. And that's made up of my thoughts and my actions and my life purpose and how I relate to the world. And then you think of all the beings on the planet having these huge energy fields. We essentially have covered the entire Earth with our shared vibration, with our shared energy field.
Very true. Wow. I never really thought about it like that, but you're right.
Yeah, and it's awesome because if you think of it that sense, if there's somebody out there who is living from the heart and expressing themselves as unconditional love, well, if we're talking throat chakra, they're lifting the whole field. Their ripple effect is going out far, far beyond them. And if we have enough people doing this really, really strongly and living from the heart, naturally, it will lift everyone.
It's contagious, definitely. Energy is contagious. You're so right. If there's one person in the room who like unconditionally loves themselves and all others, it's hard to not smile or to not feel a little bit of that energy for your own self. So imagine hundreds of people doing that. You know, that's I think the goal. It's our humankind goal.
It's so true. Yeah, that's totally the goal.
And so which ones are we missing now? So we covered root, sacral, solar, heart, throat.
Now we have, I love this chakra. I guess I say that about all of them, but third eye chakra is the sixth chakra. This chakra is the home of intuition. It's the color's purple, kind of like an indigo purple, little bluish, because all the colors kind of merge into each other like a rainbow would. Mm-hmm. And it's called Ajna, which means to perceive or to know. This relates to, yeah, this is our intuition. This is when you get those intuitive hits, which we all get, whether or not we believe in any sort of psychic ability, but whether or not we really are tapped into our own intuition, we've all had moments where we have seen our phone light up across the room and known who it was, or been thinking of someone and then suddenly had them, boom, they just sent you an email the moment that you were thinking about them. Or you walk into a room and you see somebody you know and suddenly you realize that not only are they sad, but you have this really unspoken understanding of kind of what's wrong with them even before they've opened their mouth on some level. This is kind of like quantum field stuff. So this is the things that are so connected that they move at the speed of light or faster. This is where truly separation, even from an energy stance, has started to divide. And the third eye chakra connects us to a place where we're really close to the crown chakra. So it connects us as close as possible to the place where we're all one. And so this is where we get like downloads. People talk a lot, especially podcasters, about I got this download from source, from universe, or I got this download from my angels or whatever. It comes through the third eye because third eye is the home of visualization. This is the first step of manifestation because it comes from somewhere way out there. And then we have this image in our mind. Like, for example, you're going to make a painting and there's all these different potential paintings floating out in the universe, all these infinite possibilities. And the first step in it becoming a painting is for you to get some sort of image of what you want to create, what colors you want to use, what you want to paint of, do you want it to be abstract, something like that. You start to get a form. And so that would be third eye chakra.
And also, so when people say, you know, I started my spiritual awakening or your awakening and starting to notice the energies around you, and then there's something more than just the earthly things around you in those worlds, does that mean this person is starting to activate this chakra?
Yeah, absolutely. This is because it's so close to the top, which is pure spirit. While we have energy in all the chakras all the time, it is more standard that people start with, I mean, when you're born, you have a root chakra. You're born as just root chakra. So most people generally do start to rise up through the chakras where they activate energy. Mm-hmm. And so a lot, if you think of the journey, even through the chakras that has to be had for energy to reach into the third eye, yeah. You've grown a lot. And so when you're developing your spiritual practice, you are starting to energize this area where it comes after throat chakra. You have to have purified, literally purified your energy to be able to see, to perceive, to know.
Yeah, that's really interesting to think about it that way. You start to see the universe, but really the universe within. Only once you have cleared out the fog, right? Only once you have released all the, or maybe unlearned all the previous notions that maybe, I don't know, shielded you or blocked you from seeing what's within with the chakra.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So like, yeah, an imbalanced, a closed, it's it's possible, but I think it's very rare for people to have overactive third eyes. Like you can do it, but most people don't have that problem right now. But to have not enough energy there would manifest as, I need to see it to believe it. I don't believe in that. I need scientific evidence, overly analytical, overly critical, judgmental, very not feeling.
It's maybe like seeking external validation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not open to the idea that anything could come from a source that is beyond our five senses.
Mm, yes.
So, yeah, that's our third eye. Moving up from there, the crown chakra, the seventh chakra, this is the place where we've slowly gotten to higher and higher vibrational frequencies that this chakra opens up out the crown of our head. It starts as purple and fades into white. It's called Sahasrara, which literally means thousand petal lotus.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. You can picture like this lotus, this white lotus on top of someone's head, because that's where the self dissolves into the universal field, into everything. All of our crown chakras extend up to the place where they all meet. Again, universal consciousness. This is where we're all connected. And this is where we find divinity, whatever that looks like. People who call it God, people who call it source, universe.
Yeah.
That's up there, is this crown chakra. It's beyond all things. It's beyond even perception. You know, we can kind of talk about it, but in order to even be able to put it into any sort of context, we'd be using lower chakras because it's pure. It exists beyond all of this.
And that is our connection to the divine, you would say?
Yes. An imbalance in that would look like someone with I don't want to say no spiritual inspiration, someone who not only do they not have something they, I don't want to say believe in, but they don't have some sort of divine, overcompassing, all-encompassing thing that they have a relationship with. They're not even open to the idea that there could be something bigger than us humans.
Okay, I see. Maybe like related a little bit to like a lack of faith, right? Because it's something you can't prove. You got to feel it. You got to believe it. You got to trust.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, a lack of faith. That's a perfect way to describe it.
And so that completes our seven main chakra energy fields.
Yes, from bottom to top.
That's beautiful. That says so much. And thank you for bringing up also the imbalances that we might see manifesting in the different chakras, because I think a lot of times understanding how the different chakras play a role in our life, or how we might see an imbalance and link it to a chakra, can help ourselves self-heal or facilitate self-healing in a way. So for someone who's listening right now, is there any practice that you practice or that you suggest practicing for yourself or for anyone to really like scan your chakra systems within your bodies and see where you may have an imbalance? Like, is there any way to tune in and sense that? Would somebody need to go to a specialist for that? Or how does that usually work if somebody wanted to know where they have an imbalance?
Well, that's a great question. And while there are people, of course, that specialize in this, I think it's absolutely something that We know best where our imbalances is, even if it's not conscious. So, you know, if you're listening to this, you probably heard some areas where you're like, oh, I might be imbalanced there. I certainly, you know, have things I'm working on. It's the goal is to be in balance, but if we all were perfectly in balance, then what would be the point of growth? We'd have nowhere to go. But anyways, these actually do correspond to different parts in the body. Pretty obvious, throat chakra, throat, heart chakra, heart. But you can either do this with a friend or you can do it yourself. Lay down and you can actually feel your chakras because they, since there's more energy there, they have more heat than the other parts of your body. So you don't even have to touch any part of your skin, but you can hold your hands over these different energetic centers and just kind of start to feel, notice any change in energy. And if you have places where you're like, I'm not feeling anything, it might be an indication that there's not very much activity there, not very much energy in that chakra. There's also ways to do it with like a pendulum, if you have one of those, seeing if it spins when you hold it over, but that's a little more effort and a little more like learning that goes into that. But yeah, just kind of noticing where those imbalances might be manifesting and also what kind of things we tend to gravitate towards. Like, honestly, your relationship with different colors is very telling how balanced your chakras are and how your relationship is with those chakras. Because literally, the chakra system, each color, it's obviously the rainbow looks super pretty, the chakra system's beautiful, but the color is there for a purpose because the energy actually matches the vibration of that chakra. So like, honestly, I'll give a personal example. I've always had, not only like I don't like the way it looks, but I've had kind of a really strange aversion to the color red my whole life. And as I started to study this and realize everything's connected, and if I really sit with something, then it might be telling me more than just what meets the eye. I actually started to recognize that this, for me, wasn't manifesting as like, oh, I don't have a good relationship with my family. It was manifesting as the fact that almost all my energy was really higher up in the chakras, and I spent a lot of time, most of my life, feeling ungrounded. Like I was floating in the sky, and not in a negative way, but I believe that the chakra system is telling me that the reason that I had such a, I didn't want to wear the color red, didn't want to really eat red foods, didn't like the way red looked on things, didn't like blah, 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 was because that vibrational frequency wasn't really a part of me, not as much as it could be. So just, yeah, noticing colors, I guess, that you like and don't like. Like if you always wear purple and that's your favorite color and you're just purple, 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 maybe you are super third eye chakra.
Yeah. Wow. I had never thought about the colors in that way, but it totally makes sense. I love that. I'm going to start analyzing my life and see what colors I am adding to my space or to myself. That's awesome. And so once somebody does realize there's an imbalance, so like let's say I'm scanning my body and I feel, you know, relationships with attachment, with the aversion to color, with the lack of heat, I feel as though my sacral chakra is lacking balance or lacking energy flow through it. If once you notice what chakra is kind of imbalanced, what is a way to bring more energy flow to that space? I mean, I'm giving the example of sacral, but just any chakra in general, how would you focus, I guess, the energy flow or the healing of the chakra? How could you stimulate it?
That's a great question. There's like so many ways that you could do that. Again, you could take more of the color approach, and there's actually color therapy treatments. And one of the ones you can do at home is getting like rainbow colored glasses and filling them with water and then leaving them so they're getting direct sunlight for like an afternoon, and then drinking the water because the water will have picked up that energetic vibration color. Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But also, this is cool because it really is so intuitive. Like, we already know the answers. So, okay, second chakra, if it's related to water, if it's related to relationship and sexuality and pleasure, well, what does that sound like? What does that mean to you? Does that mean you need to take a long bath and be really nice to yourself and not think about anything for a couple hours. Because that'll stimulate your second chakra. You know, if we think about, oh, I need to stimulate my heart chakra. Well, what is heart chakra stuff? Oh, love, being around things that I love, doing things that I love, taking a moment and stepping back from the situation and reminding myself of my purpose and the love that I have. We can also do actually affirmations for every chakra, which we did make a video for this once, but I don't know if you want, we can go through and do one for each chakra real quick.
An affirmation for each chakra? Yeah.
If you are listening to this and you're like, I think I have an imbalance in one of my chakras, just, yeah, listen for the chakra, and this affirmation would be great to add to your day. So first chakra, I am grounded. Second chakra, I am creative. Third chakra, I am confident. Fourth chakra, I am love. Fifth chakra, I am expressive. Sixth chakra, I am intuitive. Seventh chakra, I am divine.
I love that. I love that because you can honestly, I love affirmations just in general. It's such a good, simple way to not only, I guess, raise your vibration, but probably raise your awareness to the chakra. I feel like as you said that, I could almost like feel the energies kind of flow through my lower chakras to my upper chakras. And I love it because I think, you know, even if it was like the heart chakra, I am love, all of a sudden when you say that, don't you like feel it in your heart space?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's so much about that, about aligning with the vibration of the different centers.
I totally see that. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing all your wisdom and also the little tips that we can use to bring back balance to your own chakras. Because I think the first thing is understanding the chakra system, what it is and how it plays a role in our life. Then understanding what's unbalanced for us or what's seeking a little bit more of our attention. And then we have to figure out, okay, what are ways that we can bring back balance or bring back energy flow into these spaces that maybe have been lacking. So I think you covered everything that really adds to all those points so well. And then my final question for you is, how does the chakra system relate to yoga? I know you learned so much about chakras when you started diving deeper into your yoga journey as a student and then a practitioner. So how do you relate or integrate both systems? Are they one? Are they separate? How do they merge?
Yeah, well, the chakra system and yoga both come from the same practice, the same lineage in ancient India. And really, the chakra system and yoga are just different ways of essentially activating the same thing. Because there's so many different types of yoga. Yoga is a huge word. And chakras relate to fully being present and aware. And kind of like I mentioned on my What is Yoga episode, if yoga is about finding mind, body, spirit, union, and connection, chakras is about finding balance and honoring each aspect of us as an individual fully so that we can light ourselves up and live as a whole being, not denying any part of self, not clinging to any other part of self, but being this full, vibrant, beautiful, present human being that has roots extending into the earth, extending back into ancestors, extending to family, all the way up through the crown of the head where we extend to divinity, we extend to whatever our version of God is. And both of these energy centers are so active that they're shooting energy equally through our body, and we're this full, vibrant being. Like a manifestation of where we came from, where we're going, and everything is full and sacred.
Oh my God. Yeah, I feel like it adds a layer, it adds depth to the practice. I mean, and it's also interconnected too, because it's all like, it's this holistic, I guess, approach, right? We're not only looking at the physical self but also the mind and the spirit and the energy, which is beautiful, which is basically an added awareness almost that I think the world is becoming more and more aware of. At least for me, I mean, with my little knowledge on chakras, I feel like I've already been able to understand myself so much better. And now with all the tips that you brought up, I even like was taking notes as you were talking. I'm so excited to try out and see what else comes up for you. And I'm sure anybody listening too can do that and can see and understand themselves better. Sometimes it's even, I think, I find it comforting. Sometimes when you're feeling something and you've been feeling something for so long, you're like, something's wrong with me. I don't get it. Why am I like this? Why are my friends not like this? And then when you have a system tell you like, hey, it's just because, you know, your root chakra has been out of balance for like 10 years. Now I know what I need to work on. At least for me, I felt like this comfort and support by just understanding the system better. I've been able to understand myself better. Thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom. I am done with my questions to you about chakras, but was there anything else that you wanted to add?
I think we pretty much got it all, but I guess just like one closing thought, energy flows both ways into our chakras and it manifests in different ways, but there is no such thing as a more important chakra. Like the goal is really to honor every single part of ourselves. So really it is to have an equal, healthy relationship with our ego as we do with our intuition. It's not saying I want one but not the other. It's about honoring the whole. And so this idea that root chakra is like the beginning and the goal is to rise all the way up and transcend at the crown chakra, that's kind of an old version of chakras, but really the point is to have equal energy in all so we can light ourselves up and be this whole being. Because, yeah, that's really what we're trying to do here, is just be as much as we can, exist as much as we can. And we can. The chakra system helps us with that. Because like you were saying, it really does make you feel less crazy once you're like, oh, this is actually related to energy. This isn't me having emotional attachment. This is literally related to my second chakra. And that's not my fault. That's so liberating.
It's healing. Yeah. Honestly, just knowing that is already a one step forward. Thank you so much, Taryn, again, for sharing with us all your wisdom on chakras. I had such a fun time picking your brain on all these things. I know for sure I'll be using all your little tips and guidance on how to have a better relationship and really understand my chakra system better so that I can practice some more self-healing. So thank you so much. This was so fun. And I hope that everybody who tuned in and listened got and took away so much of this wisdom too. Also, thank you for really breaking it down, because I've definitely watched chakra videos before and I've been like, whoa, what? But I think into a very, very simple, digestible way to understand it as physical earthly beings. So thank you.
Good. Okay. That's my goal, is to make it very connected. So that's awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening and asking and being present with me.